topic of this meeting is relationships, and we drew straws, and Ryan from the Northeast Freedom Area decided to go first.
Hi, family. My name's Ryan. I'm an addict.
Ryan.
Steve said 20 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, Siri, set a timer for 20 minutes. I'm a rule follower today, so I should be able to do 20 minutes. I just want to start out with I'm grateful to be here. Grateful to be asked to serve in Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous has absolutely saved my life. I've been around the program for... been clean for a little over 22 years, came around in 98, didn't stay clean, and I'm grateful I didn't die in that journey getting here. I met a lot of really, really good people in Narcotics Anonymous when I first got here that prayed for me and loved me until I could learn to love myself. And so here I am today. I did make a little list. You know, when Steve told me the meeting was on relationships, I immediately thought about my wife. Coming up, I'm a little nervous. I shouldn't have had coffee before the meeting, but oh well, I did. We're coming up on 17 years of marriage, and it has not been perfect. It has not been, I've done things that weren't conducive to the marriage. She's probably done some things that she would regret, but it's been a hell of a ride. So my wife is not in recovery, and that's been a challenge in itself. Sometimes, because she just doesn't get us. You know, it doesn't mean that she definitely couldn't use 12 steps in her life. For real, I think everybody could benefit from working 12 steps in their life, right? Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, you know. This is for people who need it. I'm sure there's a lot of other things we could be doing on a Saturday, but here we are, right? So everything, when Steve asked me to do the meeting, I was like, no, I got a lot of shit to do. I can't do that meeting. And but since I've been clean, my conscience is a bitch. And I couldn't live with myself if I said no. So when asked to do a meeting, I do it. So here I am. And sorry if you didn't want to hear it. There's tons of other meetings if you don't get out of this what you needed to hear. But I did take some notes, and I did some reading, and I'm grateful in that respect that Steve asked me to do it, because I did hit the book a little bit. And there's so many relationships in my life that have flourished because of Narcotics Anonymous and everything that I've learned here. I have a 14-year-old daughter, and she's been my best friend up until the hormones kicked in. And it's been... it's been a rough couple weeks, I'm not going to lie to you. There's been some really trying times in my recovery that I haven't had up until now. You know, I worry about her. You know, as being addicts, we can obsess on things, and maybe I have totally obsessed on her since she's been born, you know, and now that she doesn't want to hang with Dad all the time, you know, my feelings are hurt. And she's definitely said some things that I just look at her like, where did you learn that at? And like, the things that she said, and I was a bad kid, and I didn't talk to my parents the way she talks to us sometimes, you know? And the thing is, she really is a good kid. She has good grades, and it's really tough growing up right now, you know? And I'm trying to understand that, and we had an episode a couple weeks ago where I, like, completely zapped out, and I acted out a character, and since I've been clean, it's been real easy for me to stay away from confrontation, because when you use the way I used, my life was nothing but confrontation. I fought everybody, I ran from everybody, I stole from everybody, and that's what I did when I used. So when I got clean, just from not putting the drugs in me, I was able to stop doing that. Not to say that there ain't other things that everybody knows that the drugs are just a symptom, you know, so that's another reason why I'm still here 22 years later, because the disease can show up in other areas of our lives, you know. So she's pushed my buttons, and thank God I'm here and not in jail. I didn't hit anybody, but I really lost my cool, and I yelled at some people that mean a lot to me, you know, and to boot, my mother-in-law lives with us, and the house was kind of like a sweetheart deal, and she was part of the sweetheart deal, so And she's really good to us, and she's a really good woman, and we had a long talk today, and I know she's still really not happy with me with the way I acted. And the bottom line is, it was kind of like a wake-up call. I need to be more God-centered, and I need to stay in this circle, like Etta talked, about, and not be here, you know? And being socially acceptable in your job and in your life and stuff, that can happen, you know? And my family comes first. And I really need to stay God-centered and stay centered in the program. You know, the night that it happened, when I had my little spat, I immediately called a friend from the program, and that's how this works. You know, I was like ready to like, you know, I was so angry that I couldn't even see straight, and he talked me right down from the ledge, and he was like the perfect one to call because he's been going through some stuff here lately, and that's how this program works. You know, the therapeutic value of one act up of another. I should have drank that coffee. I'm like nervous as shit. Something about the microphone too, but yeah, thank you. But I did take some notes on my relationships. Like I said, for whatever reason, my wife came to mind first. There's been times where you just kind of have to eat shit, you know? I mean, you have to, you know, even if you're right, you know, happy wife, happy life, and that's the truth. It really is, and that's been the key, really. Almost 17 years of marriage. Like I said, she's not in the program. She hasn't seen me use. We met when I was clean, so kudos to all you, because it would never happen, you know? I try to pray every day. I have prayed every day. As soon as Steve asked me to do the meeting, I was like, I'm going to make sure I hit my knees every morning. And I do most mornings anyway, but I have consistently since then. My relationship with my daughter, we are just trying to put her in a position to succeed. You know, we're thinking about private school this year, and I'm going to be eating noodles and noodles for like the next, I don't know, 10 years. It's crazy how... I don't know. We're just trying to put her in a position where she can, you know, and there's such a fine line there with being, with discipline and with COVID just really screwed everything up. She was on a really good path, and she still is on a good path, but the homeschooling and the computer, and man, it was terrible, you know. It was bad. It was a bad couple years, and I feel horrible. I know a lot of people were really affected by it, and it stinks, and I'm glad to be kind of on the other side of that. And but my daughter, my family, my parents didn't really use per se. My mom was a drinker. My dad occasionally drank, and he has other issues like bipolar and stuff. So I come from two crazy people, kind of, sort of, in a way. They split up when I was young. My stepfather was just talking about relationships. Glad we only got 20 minutes, Steve. I guess I got to hurry up. But my stepfather was a city police officer, and he was very, very strict, and a Vietnam veteran. And, when I was younger, I got my ass whipped, you know, and you can't do that these days, you know. And believe me, it took me everything not to whip my kid's butt the other night. But, you know, being accountable, pulling up my big boy pants and coming in here and telling on myself. Do you think I want to do that? No. When I bounced in and out of the rooms for 2 years, it was the hardest thing I had to do was come in and tell everybody I relapsed again. And I picked up my one-day key tag at St. Tim's, which I don't even think St. Tim's is there anymore, but I did it in front of that whole room, and I thought, I don't ever want to do this again. And I'm just really grateful for that. Trying to practice these principles in all of our affairs. For me, that goes hand in hand with relationships. I mean, because you're dealing with people that have different backgrounds. You know, I remember I told a guy on a job one time that I was in recovery, and I could tell his like wheels were turning. And then the next day, he's like, "So, what kind of drugs did you do? Did you shoot drugs?" And so now I just kind of say I don't drink, you know, and that's the end of it, you know, because they just don't have to get into detail with that. Because people who shoot heroin, you know, they never come back. You know, people can't stop doing that. I'm like, okay. So it was weird. So from now on, that's what I say, and that's the relationships on my job. I'm an auto mechanic by trade. I started as an apprentice, and that the guys in that trade are like, wow. It's I wish I would have done something else. I should have done something like in the medical field or anything really, but I'm just kidding. I'm grateful for everything it's given me. but I am trying to prioritize my spiritual health. And it's hard. You know, there are so many distractions in life. I can't even read my own handwriting. With work and the wife and the family and my extended family, that it's easily for me to get distracted quickly, you know, and you kind of forget what it's all about. You know, just driving down the road. I mean, look at the way people drive. I mean, to not get out and hit somebody over the head with a baseball bat. Well, I guess they'll shoot you now, but, you know, just, it's crazy. It's a crazy world, you know? And thank God we have Narcotics Anonymous, where since I've been here, our diversity is our strength. We're all the same inside that circle, like Etta said, you know? And that's what I see, and that's what I live day to day, you know? So I try not to feed into the hate. You know, we love each other. Life is God, love, treating the other person the way you want to be treated. You know, my mom told me, treat other people the way you want to be treated. She didn't say if they're red, if they're brown, or only if they look like you. That was how I was raised, you know? And we just need to get back to loving each other, you know, and loving on each other. And I thank God I have Narcotics Anonymous, because that's what I learned here. People learn to love me until I love myself, you know? I'm real grateful for the members that were here when I got here and reached out to me. You know, I literally, my first meeting, it was in Dundalk where I got clean at. I lived in a recovery house. I went to a recovery house that night. And my life has changed. And like I said, I didn't stay clean from that first meeting, but my life honestly changed once I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous. So I know I'm having a hard time staying on the relationship topic here. But it's made everything possible. I guess I feel bad kind of skipping over those parts, because it's made every relationship possible in my life. Without God, without working the 12 steps of NA. Another hard part of the relationships is trying to keep the 10th step daily. Okay, so if I'm wrong to somebody, immediately apologizing, looking at my role. And this can be almost a detriment to me sometimes, because I am so aware of what's going on with Ryan. When I say something, to the point where I could be up that night like, why did I say that? You know, and then the other person, I'll see him the next day and they don't, you know, they just blow it off or whatever. And then I have to go and say I'm sorry, and they look at me like I'm crazy. I tend to be obsessive compulsive in certain situations like that, where the other people, it's crazy. I guess, you know, I kind of knew something was wrong with me before I ever picked up the drugs. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I never felt good enough. There was always a voice in my head that told me you weren't good enough. And that's just the truth with me, you know. I forget where I was going with that, but the acceptance, accountability is everything. Like I said, I can be obsessive compulsive with that. Especially these last couple years, you know, I've kind of been, before COVID, I was like at my home group, another meeting, and my friends are in Narcotics Anonymous, so that's easy. You know, I do have one lifelong childhood friend that we have rekindled our relationship. I destroyed every relationship when I was using, and he knows me front to back. We literally were in, before preschool, I don't know, like little tykes or something together, and we've been friends for that long. And to have that relationship with him, you have that friend that you can call. You haven't even talked to him in 2 years, and you can pick up right where you left off. He's that friend to me, you know. And I've made friends like that here at Narcotics Anonymous. So that's huge. Practicing these principles in all of our affairs. Man, that's tough, especially when it comes to work. You know, I have a job where, if you do that, you can be taken advantage of easily. 5 minutes. I got the timer on, Steve. Thank you. especially if you work in like the corporate world, you know, and you try to do the right things for the right reason, you can get abused, you know. And then the other side of that is, I'm grateful to have a job. You know, I never dreamed I would be where I was today. If you used the way I used, I shouldn't be standing here anyway. And it's like, it's really hard to deal with difficult people. It really is. And, you know, if you work a job where sometimes it feels like people do things out of spite, you know, and you know damn well, and then you got to work with them all day, you know. And we recently had one of our shops, everybody got fired. And it's like 2.5 hours away, and they were like, well, yeah, you got to go work there for a week and just stay in a hotel and all. I'm like, well, what about, you know, I got a kid I pick up from school. I have people that depend on me here at my house, so we don't care. This is what you got to do. You know, so that was rough. It was weird. Going out to dinner by yourself. I've reached a point, like I told him, I was sitting at dinner by myself. I did it like every night that week. And my wife's like, I could never just go out to a restaurant and sit by myself. I was all right with it, you know? I really was. It was like I was in good company. It was me. I was in, and you guys go to Longhorn, I was grubbing every night, you know? And that's a whole nother relationship, is my relationship with food.
Yes.
You know, being the OCD that I was talking about, food can be, I can stuff my feelings with that, you know? My first... probably 8 or 9 years clean. I was just so happy to be clean. All I did was eat and drink coffee. And I quit smoking cigarettes about 17, 18 years ago. But that's what we did. We smoked cigarettes, we drank coffee, and we ate. And next thing you know, I'm 35 years old. I'm 5'8". I'm 260 pounds. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, I don't feel good right now, you know? And I started going to the gym. I had to talk to people at the gym. There was people in recovery that had lost weight, that had tried not to... overeat, you know, and that's it was really, really hard, to the point where I couldn't sleep at night. That's all I did was eat, you know. And I stand here today telling you my relationship with food is not a whole hell of a lot better. I just kind of did a little bit less, and I just started incorporated exercise, you know, because my doctor told me, he's like, you're pre-diabetic and your cholesterol was high and all this shit. And he still says he wants to see me under 200 pounds, which I'm not. But he reminds me of that. He reminds me of that all the time. But going to the dentist, all that kind of shit I didn't do when I got here. My wife is a dental assistant. I hadn't been to the dentist for like 10 years, and I still didn't want to go when she made me go. And they were like, holy shit, you know, you need deep scaling and all this stuff. And oh, my God, it was painful. But again... Narcotics Anonymous and the relationships that I've gained in here, people told me, you know, part of being in recovery is going to the doctors, taking care of yourself, all these things that I never did. Now, I did have, like I said, I had good parents that meant well. The relationship piece has been hard, and I keep coming back to my wife, but, you know, my mom has been married twice. She's been with like steady boyfriends that were kind of like father figures in my life. You know, my dad would get me on the weekends when I was a kid. And they meant well, and they really did, and they tried to do the best that they could with what they did. they did manage to discipline me and instill morals in me that I'm grateful for today. You know, like I said, back then my parents whipped my ass. That's the way it was, you know, and I remember my dad saying, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And, you know, and my mom said, well, you know, discipline is a form of love. She said that, you know, and that's what, you know, maybe we need to go back to that sometimes, you know, after what I went through with my daughter the last couple of weeks. But, you know, and that's the way I was raised. And I still managed to go get high, you know. And my wife says, well, look how you were raised, and you turned out to be a drug addict, you know. And she'll say shit like that to me, and then, you know, she knows it gets to me. But it's the truth, you know, and nobody has all the answers. We can just, like I said, we need to love on each other, and I need to practice these principles in all my affairs, whether it be my daughter, my mom, my stepmom, all these people that are in my life, my sister, people that I care about and people that I love, you know. And just for me, I like going to church. I like praying. Going to meetings, not picking up whatever you believe in is going to keep you clean. You know, I believe that for me, I needed that higher power. There was times where it was just me and God, you know, and he got me through that, you know. And there was times where I just had to sit on my hands when I first got clean. You know, I was real lucky to live with my first sponsor my first 15 months. And, you know, I worked with guys. We were roofers. And they were pretty much, I think everybody was in recovery, you know, on the whole roofing crew. And it was like, he was looking out for me, you know. It was crazy. It was like everything just came into play the way it was supposed to. And then fast forward to where I am right now, and The last couple of weeks with my daughter, I'm a mess. I've just been all over the place. I feel so guilty for the way I acted and yelled, and kids push our buttons. My mom said, well, you were a little asshole. And the thing is, like, I could see her telling, well, go, let him go. Let him go. You know, you get so angry with them when they act out. And it's like, let him go. Let him go with the friends. Let him go. My mom probably said, let him go party or whatever. Just let him, get him out of the house, you know. But, like I said, it's been, it's crazy. I ended up here and people loved on me until I could love myself. And I'm real grateful for Steve for asking me to come show the meeting. And it's, my timer's up. So thank you for listening.
Okay, our second speaker is Abby F., and she's from the Bay Area.
Gracious, hi.
Woo!
Yeah!
Okay, be patient with me. I had the same exact coffee that start with that. Oh, I'm Abby, I'm an addict.
Abby.
I was not a Coke fiend at all, so I don't like this feeling. Okay. So, yes, I'm an addict. Thank you for asking me to come and share this lovely topic. I do have some relationships in my life. I did go to our literature a little bit to kind of pregame, because that's where my source of strength comes from, also from the people in my life and the people that I've met in this fellowship. And so I just wanted to touch on this one little sentence to kind of get things started for me and to keep me focused on the message that I want to portray today. Living clean is about relationships with ourselves, with our loved ones, with our fellow members, with society, and ultimately with our higher power. And I came to Narcotics Anonymous in January of 2000. I have not been clean for that long. I found these rooms because my mom, I was living in her basement and I was a heroin addict and she was tired of looking at me and I was a whole mess. And so my mom, God love her, I have family in 12-step recovery, she knew that that this worked for them and that maybe it could work for me too. So what she did was she got the newspaper and she found a Narcotics Anonymous meeting within 2 miles of our house on that night. And she took me to that meeting. And I sat down, and I was sick and high at the same time. And I sat in that meeting, and I was angry and pitiful and just a whole mess. And I shared about how, and no one knew how I felt, because I was so unique, don't you know? And everybody here's on methadone or something, and you guys are not sick, and you don't know what it's like to be me, and wah, wah, wah. And so women came up to me after that meeting, gave me their phone number, and I still talk to those women today. They're still clean. That's been a long time ago, right? And so that's longevity in Narcotics Anonymous. That's building relationships from the very beginning, even when I couldn't stay clean. And I got a sponsor, and then I would call that sponsor. And that was my very first relationship in Narcotics Anonymous at that time that taught me how to re-enter the world again, because I was not employable. I couldn't hold a job for more than a minute. And I didn't think I had any talents. I came here pretty broken and pretty jaded because I had so many broken relationships. And I mean broken relationships, like romantic ones and friends that had given up on me and people crying in my face telling me I'm going to die. And I said, you're overreacting. I'm going to be fine. And so in the end, and I came here and I met some people and I met a woman that I thought was okay. She had like a year and a half clean or something. And I was like, will you be my sponsor? And she said, okay. And she was in the middle of her process and was a little bit, she was tough love. And I was not used to tough love. And so I needed that at the time. And I kept using, though. And that was a problem. And I'm still building this relationship with this woman. And it's not going the way that it should be because I keep using, right? And so I keep building my relationships with my disease. And my disease and I wreaked havoc in lives. And so in the end, I was tired and I wasn't using every day and I just wanted to be different. And I didn't know, I knew that there was this place, I knew that there was this thing called abstinence. Talks about it in these texts, right? The abstinence from all mind-altering substances. And so I knew I had to pick a way. There was a way to go. There was this way, the 12-step recovery way, or maybe I could choose this other way that was, you know, in the gutter. And so, or death, you know. And I chose this way. And I woke up that next day, and I didn't tell anybody that I used. I just got up and I said, I'm going to go to this meeting, and I'm going to hit this meeting with my sponsor. It's in the afternoon up on Christian Street in Baltimore City, and I didn't tell her I used the night before. I just went to the meeting and sat down and listened. For the first time ever, I listened in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I didn't compare to what the woman said in the meeting. I didn't compare myself to her story. Her story was very different. But what I did compare myself to was, if this lady can be up here sharing this message and stay clean and talk about it years later, I can stay clean too. And so I took that and I ran with it, and I just put one day after the next. And I built the relationship I had with my sponsor at the time, who worked at a hospital, and there was a little coffee shop that was at the hospital. And so she said, she was tough love, so she said, get your ass up here and get a job. And I said, okay. So I got up there and I got a job, you know, and I started building my foundation. And through the foundation, I, you know, I made friends, you know, and I definitely had, my priorities were just for today, right? I'm not going to get involved with any men. I'm not going to have a boyfriend. I'm not going to have sex. I'm just going to go to meetings, and I'm going to, just for today. And I made it just for today, right? For over a year. It's fucking amazing. I did it. I'm that girl, okay? You now know the girl who made it a year out of a relationship in her first year. You know her. She's here. And so I did it. And a proud moment. And so I stand by, it's like my badge of honor right here. I should get a medal. And so it was a hard thing, right? Because I wanted that. I wanted all the outside validation. I wanted I wanted to fill the void. I wanted all that stuff to go away. I filled the void with Ben and Jerry's and Mario and Luigi. And I would sit up and I would eat ice cream and gain a ton of weight and blah, blah, blah. And so I did that. And so I built relationships with my sponsor, who was at the time became a very good close friend. She's still a close friend of mine today. I moved on from her in sponsorship to a woman who had a lot more experience with Narcotics Anonymous culture, right? Because she kind of went, when I got clean, I went to all fellowships. I needed to figure out where Abby fit, and I found it, and this is the place for me. And so I found this fellowship, and I found this sponsor that was enmeshed in this fellowship only. And so it organically grew that way. I didn't come in here with this mindset. I found what worked, and I just went with it. And so this woman, let me go back. So I have this, you know, sponsor who I'm becoming very close to, and she is very busy with her full-time job and her new baby and her nursing school, right? And I'm like, I just want to stay clean and become a medical assistant, and I'm going to, you know, whatever. So that's a whole story in of itself. So I ended up, you know, in that first year, I got to know me. I didn't have anything else to do with myself but work steps. That's what I did. A lot of people don't work steps the way that I do. My sponsor is a big advocate of doing it like this. I wrote the steps out. I've been through them 3 or 4 times. I'm going through them again. Anything that I've missed, I've gotten back to, and the relationship I have with my higher power has grown because of that, because I'm constantly pouring into my step work. And in that first year, I had nothing else to do, and I had a bullshit-ass boyfriend at the time, and I had a bullshit, you know, when I was using, and I had a lot of trauma from that, and so I really had to kind of, I had to weed through that stuff. And thank God for, you know, the man that finally asked me out on a date, right? So I'm going to meetings, I'm making friends, I'm involved with service, I'm totally on the literature committee, I've arrived, I'm on a pink cloud, I'm, you know, I've had all these friends, I'm going to conventions, I'm, you know, I'm knee deep in just I had no living on life's terms really happen yet. So I didn't have, the first year I really dedicated to learning how to be a friend to me and be a sponsee and work steps and learn about this thing called a higher power. And that's my first year. And so after I had a year and 2 weeks clean, this lovely young man who was a little bit younger than me introduced, you know, we would hang out at the diner and we would all go to play pool and do all this stuff after the meeting. And we would all go to their house, to him and his roommate's house, to watch The Sopranos. And then we would, which I don't even like that show, but whatever. And so, be over there, and he's just so nice, and he's so patient. And so then he asked me out on a date in a really awkward way, right? And I had built my relationship with myself that I was comfortable. I had finally, like, poured into myself for the first time in my life. I had, like, all these friends or whatever in high school and blah, blah, blah. And I finally had poured into myself. And I was scared to bring that into my life again. I was really scared. And so I took a risk, and I went out on a date. A date! Like, it was not a sexual reference or a Netflix and chill, which there was no Netflix at the time because we're old. And we went to a restaurant at Hard Rock Cafe, right? I don't want to endorse Hard Rock, but it was really loud. Like, I remember No Doubt was, like, playing really loud, just a girl. It was, like, super loud. And I was like, oh, my God, we're supposed to talk about something? What about that meeting, you know? What do you talk about with your friend that you've known for a year? Da, da, da. So this guy, you know, was very patient with me, and he gave me space. And I needed that. And so I had a network, and he had a network. And this is the relationship that I built in Narcotics Anonymous with another recovering addict in the fellowship who was in the same area as me. Taking a risk on that, because it can get a little dicey. I've seen it. I watch it. I watch everybody. I watch what works, what don't work, and what I can incorporate, and what can I leave on the shelf. And so, you know, I built this relationship with this man, and we've been married for 16 years. And so, and so we dated. We waited a year, whatever it was, to move in together, and we waited to get married, and then we got engaged, and then we had the whole whatever, the whole thing, you know, and then we had our wedding, and then we had the baby, and the baby made a whole new relationship, right? Now I've got this newcomer living in my house, right? I have 8 years clean. I got this little newcomer, and he is crying a lot. And I'm hormonal. I'm just by nature an emotional person, and high energy, not high energy, but just like, oh, everything is like amplified for me, you know? I can be a little extra. And so my little baby just brought a whole new dynamic to the relationship, and it's hard. For me, I feel like, you know, I love my child. He's the light, the glimmer in my eye. I just love him to death. But it really did put a strain on my marriage, right? And financial difficulty came in, and that put a strain on my marriage. And so things started to really get strained. So what did I have to do in these moments of life on life term painful things? There's fights happening, there's arguments, there's ignoring, there's all this stuff that's going on that's really ugly in a relationship. And we had to grow through that stuff. And what I utilized was my sponsor. The sponsor that I have today helped me, has a very healthy marriage, and what I perceive to be a healthy marriage. And so I tapped into her and tapped into the steps. I was on like an eighth step during some of the stuff, and I'm like, I ain't making no amends with this motherfucker, you know. Fuck this shit, you know. But I'm like writing out steps, because it's all I knew how to do was pour myself and just into the steps, because I knew it would get me and my sponsor. It's the time that I have with my sponsor is precious, because I sit with her and I have her undivided attention, you know, and she affords that to me. And so we reciprocate this relationship that she gives me good feedback, and I can tell her what's going on. And now that we have longevity in our relationship, she knows all my shit. And so there is no hiding. She just will reference back. Well, remember when, blah, 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 whatever. So I have that, you know. And over the course of time, things have certainly evolved and changed because we change. I change. I've become a different person. He's become a different person. And together, we become a different couple. And so we've grown through this process over the past 20 years of becoming a unit and a force. And so it's taken a real long... And this is the short story of that, of my marriage and the relationship I have that's a romantic relationship in this program. And I know it's because I went through a 6th and 7th step before getting into a relationship. It's just for me what I needed, and I know that now. It's to really get to the heart of it and get better. And I got to talk a little bit about the family. I had my parents, and it was me, and I have other siblings and other whatever, so that's all important. But I grew up with my parents, and it was a 3-person family. We were very together, you know. We didn't... A little bit outside of that, but anyway, I was very close with my parents until I became a teenager, right? And then I'm an asshole, because that's what happens. And so I become a teenager, and I want to be with my friends only and go to the Pantera concert and whatever, right? And so my parents and I, you know, got a little jaded when I got the boyfriend and all the things, right? And in the end, I became an addict, and I was like a Tasmanian devil in their life, right? And so... Long story short, everybody knows their own story with their own family, right? Or whoever close to them, they raised them. You know that story, tell yourself. But I did the same shit, you know, basically in the end. And so my dad, I thought I was going to have my dad till he was 100, you know. And a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with liver cancer. And so I thought, well, that's fine. He's going to be fine. Like, it's going to be fine. And so he was not fine. 9 months later, I watched my dad deteriorate. But before he passed away, I had worked on myself so much and had worked on the relationship with my parents and showed up for them and helped them through things and showed up for my dad when he was dying, that the 3 of us sat in a room together privately and had a very private 8th and 9th step together. Mm-hmm. And it was very intimate. And has it been 20 minutes? I got 5 minutes. Okay. And so I had this intimate relationship with the conversation with my parents, and we all made an amends to each other. And they told me how proud they were of me and how far I've come. And it was so beautiful and so wonderful. And then I lost my dad. And it was terrible, right? But I had the love and the help from this fellowship, because over the years I've built relationships with women who have less clean time than me, that have more clean time than me. And I incorporate all their experiences to me. And they've all lost parents. And I could tap into them. And they supported and loved me through that. And it's only because of that that I know that I could stay clean through anything. You know, and never mind, like, my sponsor, I have sponsees, right? And I have some sponsees that showed up today, and I love them all. They're all very special to me, all these women who tap to me for resource, and I am so honored for that, and to build those, and a lot of those relationships are a few years in the making, and we're into it, you know, and we're all working this thing together as a unit and trying to get better and be better people, and I'm here to do that, you know. It's a very important part of my program. I am currently, you know, a very busy lady, and I make time for step work, because that's the jam, right? And so what my sponsor does for me, and all those relationships I could go on for a long time about, but I am such a grateful person, and I just try to share it with anybody that I can. I've seen too many people die. And so I just try to build on the relationships with myself, my God, my sponsor, my husband, my kid, my sponsees, and anybody, any woman in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And with that, I'll keep coming back.
I'd like to thank Abby and Ryan.